And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Oh, let's go, baby. It's a Friday. Great to be with you. Where would you rather be? I feel like a head coach right now in football. Where would you rather be than right here, right now, in this moment? I'll tell you what, man, we're not that far off from football season, so I'm feeling the juice. And if I'm being quite honest with you, I just had my first sip of coffee like 19 seconds ago, and I'm just feeling jacked. Oh, I'm jacked. Ready to go for a big Friday here in studio. Speaking of football, we're going to be talking with Justin Breeze, head coach of the Aberdeen Central football squad. As Matt and I have been talking, getting closer and closer to August here, you know, who should we get on the Sports Hub? We've had a lot of local folks on here this week and all summer for that matter. But we're just kind of having that countdown. You know, we got to start talking some football here a little bit. So we're feeling that here in the next 15 minutes. Head coach Justin Breeze of the Golden Eagles. He'll be joining us live in studio. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the aforementioned Matt McClure. He is the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Doing good, man. Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday indeed. And you're getting that itch too a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, I like that little pregame coach's speech you did there to start the show. Maybe Justin Breeze could give us one of those, like a locker room speech here on the Sports Hub live in studio.
You know, it's interesting because Saul Phillips and I talk about this all the time on the basketball side of things. You see the movie Hoosiers. You see any given Sunday, you see all these great speeches.
There's 6 inches in front of
your face. There's 6 inches right in front of your face. Those, an inch here and an inch here, because that's what's going to make the difference between winning and losing, between living and dying. I'm feeling it, baby. But that's Al Pacino, of course. Saul Phillips said, hey, that's not real life. There's not a whole lot of these big speeches before games and stuff. That's just Hollywood being Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't think you see it as much with coach. You see it from time to time. I feel like when you see speeches nowadays, it's actually a lot more player-driven than it is coaches-driven. So, I mean, the one that comes to my mind is, have you ever seen the Tim Tebow one? When he's at the locker room, he's like 30 minutes for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big one for Tim Tebow. That one gets – I still see that one till today. And there's a Cam Newton one when he was at Auburn that I still see. So I think it's more if they do the speeches. And it'll be interesting to hear a player's perspective on that, if they would, you know, share that. Like, you know, does somebody go and say something like that in the locker room or try to get the team jacked up with maybe a speech or something? But I think it's more player-driven now than anything else.
And I think most coaches would say we want it that way, because player-driven teams are going to go so much further than coach-driven teams. I've been doing play-by-play at the high school level, the college level now for years, and every coach I talk to say, we're going to go as far as our players are going to take us. We're going to go as far as our best players are going to take us. We're going to go as far as our leaders take us. So player-driven teams are going to go a lot further than coach-driven teams. There's no two ways about it.
I'd agree with that 100%. You see the most successful teams, you think a team like Peer, you think they're player-driven, player-led? I think so. So I'm just using them as an example. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of great teams in South Dakota high school, the college level, that – are player-driven teams. Obviously, the coach has something to do with it, but leaders on the football field, you see it more so on the football field than maybe you do on, like, the basketball court or other sports. Like, I feel like it's really known on the football field who the leader is, mm-hmm. right? The leader of the offense, leader of the defense, special teams, whatever it may be.
You got a bunch of alpha males. Totally get that. Totally get that. I hope I didn't blow out my my vocal cords from that Al Pacino. That wasn't even a very good Al Pacino reference. It was just me yelling. But
your throat hurt a little bit?
I think I'll be all right.
Sounds good.
I think I'll be okay. But we're in hell now, gentlemen. And that's my best Al Pacino. I don't know if that's very good or not, but we got to claw out of here or something like that. But it's a great speech, any given Sunday. And speaking of which, it actually literally just popped up on my Twitter feed here. There's a photo from literally Al Pacino, and
that's wild
how that worked out.
That's wild.
I don't know how it all kind of worked out. Maybe Facebook's listening in, or Twitter's listening into our algorithm or something like that. I sound like such an old man with that, listening to our algorithm. I don't even think that's a thing. But anyways, that's what's going on here today. We're talking some Aberdeen Smitties as well. Had a nice senior night last night, celebrating the Bryce Anglin Award there for that one single 9-inning game. And I think you even said to me off the air, they don't want this thing to go at 9 innings, because they've got a quick turnaround. They're playing here today at 1-3. They played 7 last night against Sturgis, and they took care of business.
Yeah, 16 runs. They scored a run in every single inning. And a game like that against a team that in Sturgis that has struggled this year, they've only won one league game going into that matchup yesterday. They're 5-18 overall. You want to take care of business early. Smitty's jumped out to a quick 3-0 lead in the first, and Donnie Soderlund, that's exactly what you want. Six innings pitched, only one earned run. Did give up six hits, but I was mentioning it on the broadcast yesterday. We've talked to a lot of Smitty's players, Vining and Casey Vining in particular. They want the reps in the field. And when you get a guy like Soderlund, doesn't throw that hard, but he throws a lot of strikes, you're going to have the opportunity. Sturgis put the ball in play. They made plays behind him. And the Smitty's with a nice win there yesterday, quick turnaround, and another opportunity to wrap up the home regular season strong.
Yeah, we'll have that for you right here over on HubCityRadio.com. And, Matt, I don't think I've ever seen a game in which a team puts up 16 runs before and they're credited with three hits. That doesn't happen very often. The Smitty's had three hits offensively last night.
No, they didn't hit the ball particularly hard at all. They had a one gapper from Cooper Eisenbeis that ended up being a triple. A single in there from Cooper as well. He had two of the three hits. Sifkin had an RBI in there as well. But they took advantage of some mistakes defensively from Sturgis, and really they struggled to throw strikes. Smitty's, I think in the first two innings, there was eight walks. I think double digits for the game from Sturgis pitchers, and they were just running around the bases. They get on first base, oh, we're taking over to second, overthrow to second, he's at third, maybe a pass ball, we're home. You know what I mean? So I think it was more of that going on than actual, like, hits.
Games like that can be kind of interesting because you clearly don't respect the catcher behind home plate. It's like, yeah, this guy's arm is not good enough. We're going to be just taking second.
And it's funny enough, I actually was impressed with the Sturgis catcher.
Oh,
I think,
okay.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He had a really nice – he had a big arm behind – but I think it was the Smitty's just getting a big jump, and they got some fast players. Like Drew Saulfrank, he's got over 20 steals this year.
He's freakishly fast.
Yeah, he's really fast. Cooper Eisenbeis, he's got 20 steals. I mean, these guys can run the bases, and they put on a show and a clinic there last night.
And looking forward to that again here today at 1 and 3 respectively on HubCityRadio.com with the play-by-play voice today of
Mr. Unlimited.
That's right, Mr. Unlimited on the mic here today over on HubCityRadio.com. Looking forward to that twin bill there. Should be an excellent afternoon for some Smitty's baseball there as they'll take on that Spearfish squad on HubCityRadio.com. So if you're watching the web stream here in studio, you'll see us that we've got the open on in the background. And you said to me, you know, Tiger, probably not exactly his best day yesterday. Might even struggle to make the cut here a little bit. But you said Shane Lowry's in first place. And there's one guy that needs a little bit of help in this tournament. And that is Scott Scheffler's caddy.
Okay.
Have you seen this story?
I have not.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Ted Scott, his name, Ted Scott, he is battling it on day two of the Open at Royal Troon. During the early coverage of Scheffler's second round on Friday this morning, broadcast noted that Scott was under the weather, but based on his actions throughout the day, he appears to be deathly ill. Ted Scott, this is. Throughout the round, Scott was seen lying on the ground between holes. At one point, Shane Lowry and Matt Fitzpatrick, who were playing in front of the Scheffler group, came over to check on him. And Brody Miller of The Athletic shared insight and photos of Scott's quick siestas there that's on social media. So, I mean, it's tough enough to win the Open. We don't have photos of it here. But it's tough enough to win the Open when you've got everybody dialed in. It's really tough to win when your caddy, who's kind of your ace in the hole, kind of reading greens and what have you. It's not to say that Scotty Scheffler doesn't know how to read greens and what have you, but these guys are pros too. And, you know, you're kind of playing to a certain degree with one arm time behind your back right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Caddies are super important. Dialing in yardages, giving you that other perspective. Hey, do you want to hit? What do you want to hit here? That's pretty crazy. You know, him just like laying down in between holes, and I'm sure there was a bunch of camera crews around him. Yeah, look at that. He looks like he's struggling right there, looking at that picture. Now, Scotty Scheffler, you know, looking at the leaderboard, he shot a 70 today. He's only five shots off the lead. You know he's going to be in the thing on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
One way or the other, he's going to be in the thing, and you're going to look at the scoreboard. There's Scheffler again, but... yeah, the caddy, a little flu game there from the caddy.
I think he's just sleeping one off. One too many Guinnesses last night.
Went a little bit too, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Went a little bit too hard last night. He's just chilling.
A couple too many harps. The old bangers and mash is hitting this morning. That guy needs to be in a bed somewhere. Give him some Pepto-Bismol. Holy cow. But, yeah, I've been in those scenarios. I guarantee you that you've been in situations like that where you're just feeling like you're on death's door.
Yep.
And the job is calling and you're like, you know what? I got to power through. I got to power through today. And
yeah.
He's doing it.
Yeah, he did it. And hopefully he's good enough to go and he'll be fine for the weekend. Because like you said, a caddy in that big of a tournament, especially at the Open, with those greens, you're going to need a second eye. And as good as Scotty Scheffler is, he'd even tell you that.
There's no two ways about it. So maybe he should probably stay away from certain foods out there if he's feeling really under the weather. And we were talking about this off the air yesterday, that the Royals have unveiled, they're calling it the mother of all baseball foods. It's called the Taste of the K Taco. And I showed you a photo of this, and you're like, wow, that's pretty aggressive. Yes, the Taste of K Taco is a hot dog wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla and topped with barbecue brisket, fries, lettuce, pickled onions, sriracha cracker jacks, and barbecue sauce. May require an angioplasty afterwards, but I tell you what, man, it looks pretty doggone good.
Yeah, I'd give that a try in a heartbeat, and you made a good point yesterday.
Might be your last heartbeat.
And you made a good point yesterday. I think you might want to swap the cracker jacks, the sriracha cracker jacks. Now, they could give it that nice little kick you need, but how about, like, some tater tots that add that crunch. I think that's a good move, a good alternative.
Oh, man, does it look good. Again, it's a hot dog wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla topped with barbecue brisket, fries, lettuce, pickled onions, sriracha cracker jacks, and I'm with you. I'm substituting those cracker jacks for the tater tots, great point, and barbecue sauce there. Not to be outdone, though, we've got another food on the list. That's for lunch, okay, or supper. Or dinner, as
brunch.
They say. Yeah, it can be a brunch out here for sure. But you could have it for dinner, you could have it for supper, whatever. But you have to save room for dessert. You got to save room for dessert at the ballpark for sure. And the Rockies, they have a new ballpark food. It looks like spaghetti and meatballs. No. It's actually ice cream and donuts. Yes, introducing the Polar Pasta. It's vanilla ice cream with donut holes, strawberry syrup, and mint. Are you down to try that?
Yeah, that would be, I'd have the taco probably the fourth inning.
Yeah, got to be early in the game.
Yeah, fourth inning, I think I'm getting the taco, maybe even sooner than that with the pitch clock.
Yes.
And then maybe by the seventh, I'm going over and getting that that ice cream donut thing, 100%.
You might need to skip your next seven meals just to feel okay about yourself afterwards.
I'm definitely trying that dessert, though.
But I'm right there with you. Yeah, this looks really, really good. It does look like spaghetti and meatballs, but the Polar Pasta there out west in Colorado. You got a lot of Rockies fans out here in Aberdeen. You got a lot of Twins fans. Certainly, it's Twins territory, but if you're going west, you're going to a Colorado Rockies game.
Yeah, that's a bucket list place for I want to visit Coors Field. That's a bucket list ballpark for me. And, yeah, to your point, it's good for baseball. I feel like when the Rockies are pretty good, they stink right now. But I don't know, baseball out in Denver, at Colorado, at Coors Field, just watching the game. If you ever watch the game, like on a Friday night, late night baseball, it seems like that ballpark hits a little different.
Yeah, I could totally see that, and puns intended for sure. I'd just be sitting there, Coors Banquet, loving it and just chilling, having a great day or great evening in that case. But yeah, definitely something to check out if you're going out west. And finally, since we've got Coach Breeze in here, I wanted to hit on a couple of football notes. And this is one with my pregame speech to kind of fire us up here in studio. I saw, and you know, everyone has a different thing that kind of gets them fired up. I think Marshawn Lynch used to take like a shot of Hennessy before a game. Patrick Kearney, this is the craziest one that I've ever heard of. Seahawks used to have a defensive end. Patrick Kearney used to play for the Falcons too. And he would have like this glove that would wrap around his neck and he would like hit this switch on it. It would give you voltage of electricity. So it was like a self-shocking kind of thing. He would like wrap it around his upper body and just get him so jacked up and ready to, you know, drill somebody.
That is wild.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, for me, I just say a prayer before a broadcast. But, you know, everyone's different. And the Minnesota Vikings, of course, they've got Harrison Smith, really good safety. He's been there for a lot of
the
years.
Hitman.
The Hitman, absolutely. What does he do before a game? Takes a shot of hot sauce.
Okay.
Shot of hot sauce before every game to help wake him up.
All right. Listen, I'm okay with that. Whatever works. Like, I think I do remember the Marshawn Lynch one with the Hennessy. Didn't he eat like a pack of Skittles too?
Oh, yeah, throughout the game.
Yeah, throughout the game. And then one of my favorites is the – have you ever seen the video of that big Jaguars defensive lineman that would get slapped by the –
That ain't it, Joe. Come on.
That's my favorite one.
That might be one of the best videos on the internet of that guy just getting his face slapped by the trainer. He's like, come on, that ain't it. And then he hits him again hard. He's like just freaking out.
My cousin, when he was in high school playing ball, he told me that there was this one guy, he would like – this one of his teammates, he would like hit his head against the locker until he would like bleed on his head. And that's how he would get jacked up for a game.
You know, football players are a different breed, man. They're a different breed. I'll never forget 2009, Seahawks, Jaguars. Speaking of which, Seahawks used to have a fullback named Owen Schmidt. And Owen Schmidt, I believe, was from West Virginia. And he's running out of the tunnel there. It's week five. Seahawks, by the way, won the game 41-0. That's neither here nor there. But Owen Schmidt's coming out of the tunnel. He's got his helmet in his hand. Bam! 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 Hits his head with the helmet. He's hitting the helmet with his head, and you just see blood dripping down his face.
You showed me that video.
I did.
Wild.
Insane.
Blood, just all gushing blood.
Yeah, right down his face.
Just from hitting his head against the helmet as hard as he could. If you've never seen that, that's different.
Once the Sports Hub is over, go onto the YouTubes, type in Owen Schmidt Seahawks. You'll see it right there. And, oh, by the way, they won the game 41-0, so clearly that fired him up. No, I don't think so. He's a fullback.
Okay.
But you know what? I mean, they won the game 41-0, so maybe that kind of fired up the team.
He might have been out after something like that. He might have not even been able to play in today's NFL.
Yeah, what an absolute psycho. But you know what? It certainly worked out. By the way, that's John Henderson, the guy with the face slap. I don't want to play it on the air because there might be a swear in there, so I'm going to go ahead and we'll screen this off the air, and we'll bring in head coach Justin Breeze. Coming up next, talking some Aberdeen Central football after this on FSA. We're back on the Sports Hub. It's Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's 1420 AM. It's 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. Matt McClure, David Tewksbury, head coach of the Aberdeen Central football squad, Justin Breeze. He'll be joining us here as well, and we're going to kick him on the air for sure. Not literally kick him on the air, but we'll open up his mic. But first and foremost, we were teasing this, so we got to go ahead and play it up for all of the listeners out there. The Jaguars guy that got took the shot to the face to get him fired up for game day. Let's go ahead and roll it here real quick.
Oh, Joe, that ain't good enough. Come on, Joe!
Ah! Oh,
jeez. Thank you, baby! Thank you! You're making blood!
Oh, man. Yeah, I gotta have blood coming out of my mouth. That'll fire up anybody for the Sports Hub, huh?
Yeah, his name's John Henderson, right?
Yeah, John Henderson. This is probably back mid-2000s, but some pretty wild stuff. Coach Breeze joining us live in studio. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Morning. That's a great way to kick things off.
Isn't that a great intro?
Get me all excited here.
Absolutely. So you also watched the Owen Schmidt video off the air. What do you think about that one?
You know, that might be a little bit much. I don't know if we got the blood issue there and it keeps bleeding. You might not be able to play the game. But, you know, whatever it takes to get you fired up, it's what you got to do.
What's the craziest thing that you've done before a game? Have you ever taken a slap to the face by one of your teammates or something like that?
You know, never any slaps. A lot of headbutts, a lot of pushing, a lot of shoving. But that kind of stuff, but no slaps to the face. I think that might throw me off a little bit, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, it might knock me a little bit silly.
How about are you a big pregame speech kind of guy? We were talking about that to start the show.
You know, sometimes yes. Kind of depends on the team, who you're playing that week. A lot of times pregame for me is more, hey, focus on what you need to do for the game and focus on your responsibilities and those kind of things. You know, I'll leave the pep talk to maybe one of the seniors or a leader in the team that's going to, you know, maybe get them pumped up a little bit. But, you know, I might throw in a few reminders of, you know, things we've talked about this week, what we need to do to win, and that kind of stuff. But not a huge, you know, rah-rah, you know, win one for the Gipper kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense. Head coach Justin Breeze joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll talk about the upcoming season. Matt and I were just talking off the air here the last couple days. We're kind of getting into that flow where the juices are starting to go here. We're starting to kind of think football here. It's not that far off. High school football season, just a little bit more than a month away for you guys. It's about a month and a week or so. But how have you been spending your summer so far?
You know, the summer's a great time. You know, the state opened things up for us that we can have unlimited contact with our guys. It used to be, you know, you get three or four contact days, and that's all you get in the summer. Now we can meet every day if we wanted to, but we utilize our time in the summer just two nights a week. We get together, and we look back on the previous year and say, okay, what did we do well? What didn't we do well? What do we need to work on in the off season? What do we need to get better at? And use that time to just a lot of times focus on just the skills that we need to be a better team, as individuals, as a whole team. And, you know, we can always use some time to take a look at, okay, some scheme stuff that we did. Hey, here's some plays that we like. Here's a defense that we like to do a little bit more. Here's some changes we want to make. So it's a great time to slow things down. You're not in a rush to, you know, it's game week and you got to get stuff in and you got to hurry up. It's, you know, time that we can, you know, slow things down, like I said, and just focus on developing players into, you know, better linemen, better running backs, better D linemen, better DBs, whatever it is, like whatever skills they need to work on, we need to work on those and get them better throughout the summer.
So is it a little bit different from last year, the fact that like you can practice just more with the team, or how does it kind of work?
Well, it's been open up like that for a few years now, but we could get together and have practice every single day. We only get 10 days where we can put on full pads, but we can, you know, wear helmets all throughout the summer and work on everything. You know, we, you know, have a bunch of kids that, you know, play baseball. I heard you guys talk about Smitty's, those guys. So they're not able to make it to every single practice we have. We have kids at work that go on vacation, all those things you don't have kids to do in the summertime. But we can get together and do all those things as much as we want. And it's really nice to be able to do that and slow down and not have to be in a rush to get ready for game week and hurry up and all those things, and take a look at some younger kids, you know, those eighth graders coming up to be freshmen now. We can take a look at them and say, okay, hey, you know, in a couple of years, this kid's going to develop into this kid, or even take a look at, okay, we're missing these kids from last year, kids that graduated, and okay, who's going to fill this spot now? Where are we going to move them around to, or, you know, what position do we really need to focus on for this next season?
You know, this is kind of that time of the year where, like you said, things kind of slow down a little bit. It's also that time of the year where I feel like the team really kind of grows together with, you know, kind of building that culture and what have you. It feels like the teams are really built on some of those hot summer days in the weight room and those sorts of things. How's your kind of weight room culture and just, you know, being in the weight room and just lifting weights?
You know, it's one of those things where, like I said, a lot of kids playing baseball, a lot of kids traveling. So, you know, the kids that are in the weight room, I stop up there. You know, we lift Monday through Thursday in the mornings. And, you know, the kids that are there are getting bigger, they're getting faster, they're getting stronger, all those things that we want to see them do in the summertime to make them just, you know, better athletes overall, not just football players, but, you know, if they're a wrestler or a basketball kid or a track kid as well, you know, all those kids working hard in the summertime, working to get bigger and faster and develop their bodies, you know, those kids can really work and get to the point where we need them to be for the season and keep them healthy throughout the season. Coach Archigo does an awesome job with those kids and, you know, getting them ready for whatever sport they're in, or if they're a multi-sport athlete, just their overall athleticism, overall strength, and getting them to be ready for their season or seasons.
Mm-hmm. Coach, I was looking at the schedule the other day, same two games to start the year. You got Peer Week 1 at home and then out at T. Difficult start to the schedule. It's same two teams there. Is there any other highlights you'd like to highlight on that schedule that it kind of appealed to you?
You know, it's nice that we're able to bring in those West River schools. They're not going to play other 11A or 11B schools anymore. They're playing a total AA schedule like us as well. So that's good to see, so that we can get the level playing field for the AA schools. You know, but yeah, like you said, starting out with Pier and T, two of the better teams that past couple years, you know, it's always a good test the first week, and you never know. Every year teams are a little different. You know, coaches are going to have similar schemes and things that they do, but you know, the kids playing those positions are going to be different. You know, Pier lost a ton of kids, T lost a few kids, so it's going to be a different team. And what are they going to do? Well, I guess we'll find out with Pier. You know, there's now film to study on them week one, but you know, coach still does a great job with those kids, and he has his system, and the kids do what they're supposed to. And you know, we just prepare for, you know, what we can that first week, and then, all right, hey, look back at that first week, and hey, what did we do well? What do we need to adjust? And move on from there. And it's funny how the season evolves. You know, it doesn't matter offensively, defensively, special teams. You know, you start out with one frame of mind and one set, hey, here's what we're going to do throughout the season, and then week one happens, and you're like, okay, we need to adjust this. We need to change this. We need to take a look at something different. Or, hey, this is working well. How can we improve on it? So it's an ever-evolving situation throughout the year. But, you know, we get to play our ESD schedule, minus, I think, Yankton this year. Just having the West River schools play all the AA schools takes away one of our EST games, which, hey, that's okay. You know, everything will fall out in the end.
You're going to have to forgive me if I asked you this question last year, so bear with me. I can't recall. It's been about a year. But do you like coaching that first game of the season because of the fact that there's no film on your opposition, or is it kind of one of those deals you're almost flying blind, you know, in a plane, like in heavy fog or something like that? I mean, obviously you'd like to, you like week six because there's film on everybody and you know tendencies, but same thing can be said for you guys. There's no tendencies on you guys. They don't know what you're about to run. You don't know what they're going to run. Do you like coaching that first game of the season? Did I ask you that last year? I can't remember,
but it is, it's exciting, but it's also nerving. Cause I'm a huge film guy. Mm-hmm. I love watching film. I love breaking down my opponent and seeing their tendencies, seeing what they want to do, or, you know, anticipating, okay, this is what they like to run. You know, here's what I think their adjustment's going to be, and be able to be, you know, a step ahead of them. And now you don't have that, so you're just playing off of what you saw in the first quarter or first series or first half. You know, and that kind of tests you as a coach to be able to, in-game, hey, make adjustments and say, okay, this is what they're doing. Okay, right away, without having to sit there and watch film and break it down and look at stuff, it's nerving and exciting at the same time. You know, it's fun, but not so much fun.
Yeah. So is it fair to say, to kind of piggyback off of Tukes's question there, you're really trying to focus on yourselves in that week one matchup with the not a lot of film that they have on the opposing team?
Yeah, taking a look at what we do and, hey, here's what we're doing, here's what's working, here's what we need to adjust to play better or to take advantage of whatever they're giving us, you know. So it's, yeah, a lot of looking at yourself, but also real quick in game, you know, defensively looking at, okay, here's what they're doing offensively. Here's the adjustment I think that they're going to make. So here's the adjustment we need to make in game, you know, our coaches they're doing a good job this summer of self-evaluating and saying, hey, here's what we need to work on ourselves. And a lot of good time to work on ourselves.
You got time for a second segment?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. More with head coach Justin Breeze of the Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles joining us after this on FSA. Rocking and rolling on this Friday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Head coach Justin Breeze of your Aberdeen Central football squad joining us here on FSA, and we're kind of talking off the air about some guys. I know you're a Northern State guy that, of course, graduated Aberdeen Central, now playing at Northern State, or will play, or maybe redshirt. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. But Cooper Eisenbeiss, Fosher there, Jet Carlson. Looks like a nice crew that you guys had last year that are now moving to they're making the long road trip to Northern State University.
Yeah, they're really going far down the road there, you know. And it's always great to see those guys be able to continue their athletic career and academic career, you know, whether it's at Northern, you know, we got a couple kids heading up to Jamestown with, you know, like Avery Ligon and Braden Comstock. And you know, it's always great to see those kids be able to find that they really like football and they want to continue doing that while they get their education as well. It's good to see those kids move on. You know, it's not the point of high school football isn't to, you know, prep kids to go to college, but it's also awesome when they can go and do that and continue playing and enjoy their time in college.
Kind of a follow-up about that. Pride's not the right word, but do you take, for lack of a better term, do you take a lot of pride in seeing players play at the next level, be it NAIA or D2?
Yeah, it kind of just shows like, hey, these are the kids that come from our program, that it's a testament to our coaches and, you know, the program that, hey, we can send some kids out and they can continue that on. And it's good to see. You know, we haven't had any kids go like big D1 here for a while. You know, you got to go way back to, you know, Mel Hoff and Heupel, those kind of kids that, I shouldn't say kids, they're not kids now anymore, but those kind of guys that have gone on to, you know, bigger levels, you know. And it's always fun. You know, I think we've got some kids coming up here next couple of years that could still, you know, continue to move on to and go play some college ball. So that's always exciting.
Awesome.
Also going to have a new quarterback under center, Parker Lamar. I think he's going to Northern to play basketball.
Yeah.
So you know, new quarterback. You kind of talked about it. A lot of seniors moving on, playing mm-hmm. college ball. So going to be a different look this year, right?
Yeah, we're going to have, you know, quite a few younger kids stepping in. I was thinking about this morning as I was coming here, you know, who do we have returning offensively? We've only got a handful, maybe four or five guys returning offensively, and or I should say three or four guys returning offensively and four or five returning defensively. So we got a lot of young kids. We've got a good group of sophomores, good group of juniors that I think are going to continue to improve and fill those spots. along with you know, our seniors, you know as they get older and they mature and physically, you know, they get more prepared to play, you know, they step in as well.
Last year, as we're talking with head coach Justin Breeze in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, you took a lot of again, don't want to use the word pride, but you really felt you kind of hung your hat on your offensive line last year. You had a lot of really good offensive linemen. Are all those guys coming back for next year? And what's your offensive line looking like for this fall?
excuse me. This year we had a pretty senior heavy offensive line last year. So this year we've got one returning offensive lineman, which is always tough to do. It's Riker Meister's our only kid returning on offensive line, but you know, it's always hard for those guys. I know Coach Fox always works hard with them. He does a great job of getting them to work together, because you're asking five different guys to work as one unit at the offensive line. So it's always tough, and they need a lot of time to understand, you know, what front we're playing against, who we're seeing. Is it, you know, backers? Is it D linemen? You know, who are we going to block and how are we going to block it? So it takes a long time for those guys to get cohesive, but Coach Fox does a great job, and he'll have them ready to go and work through the issues that we see, you know, whether they're bringing backers or they're twisting, all that kinds of stuff that, you know, defenses do. But, you know, he'll get them ready to go. And, yeah, we'll have four new faces in there this year. And, you know, it's, again, come back to the summertime. That's a great time that we look at kids and say, you know what, he's really going to fit well at guard, or he's going to fit really well at linebacker, or whatever it is. You know, we'll be able to evaluate and say, oh, here's where we need you. You know, we might ask you to move a position. You know, maybe you didn't play that in freshman or JV ball. Maybe we want you to play a different position. So finding the right fit for that group is really important, because, like I said, they're a cohesive group that works as one. And it's always a challenge, but also excited to see them kind of grow and develop into, you know, one unit as an offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Want to move to the defensive side of the ball. You guys were pretty good last year on defense. You guys got better, it seemed like, on each game. I mean, you had a shutout in there, I believe, versus Brookings. He played really well out in Mitchell in that tight game as well. Defensively, you guys really stepped up your game towards the middle and the end of the season. You have a lot of guys coming back on that side of the ball. You mentioned Braden Comstock, the cornerback. He had that four-interception game, I believe it was, earlier last year. So what's your outlook on that side of the ball? That was in my opinion, that was another big strength of your team a season ago.
Yeah, you know, if your defense is playing well, I think you can always win games. If you keep them from scoring touchdowns, obviously that's a great thing. You know, we got some good kids coming back on defense. We got our All-State kid, Cordell Ricklick at safety. He'll be back again next year or this year. We got Tate Huff at linebacker. Felipe Gonzalez, big D lineman, going to play some nose tackle for us this year again. Jack Birch at defensive end. You know, we got a good group of guys that have a lot of experience from last year. So I think we're going to be strong there. We're going to go through some growing pains because we're going to have some young kids stepping in, you know. But as we go through the season and evaluate, or go through fall camp and evaluate and find those guys that can help us do what we want to do defensively and, you know, create takeaways, you know, be stiff and not give up points in the red zone, those kind of things. So.
Yeah, you mentioned Tate Huff. If I remember correctly, he came in, Mason Shrimp, he had that leg injury. Did that catch you by surprise how well he played last year? I mean, he seemed like by the end of the season, I remember the Yankton game, he was like at linebacker. He made an interception down the near sideline. I mean, he was flying all over the field. It seemed like he was in every tackle.
You know, with Tate, I've known Tate for a number of years, you know, coaching him in wrestling, that kind of stuff. So I've known him, and he's a hard-headed, tough kid. He might only be, you know, 5'8", and maybe 140, 150 pounds. But, you know, he's not afraid to stick his nose in there, and he can move really well. He was coming in, like you said, you know, Mason Shrimp got hurt, so then Tate stepped in, and he stepped up to the game, and he became one of our better linebackers, and I think he was our team leader in tackles throughout the season, even not playing that first game. But, you know, he stepped up and he can fly. He loves playing football, loves hitting people, not afraid to stick his nose in there, even though he's a smaller guy, but also has a nose to the ball. Can do a really job of covering the zones that we ask him to and picking up receivers, you know, that are in the zones.
Now, you mentioned Jack Birch as well. That's a guy who saw a lot of experience. Are you looking for him at that defensive end spot to maybe take a step up this year and be that kind of, you know, I don't want elite pass rusher maybe per se?
Yeah, I think he'll be able to do that. You know, he's got some great size that he's working with. You know, I'm probably going to get it wrong, Jack. I'm sorry, but I think he's like 6'5". You know, but he's got this big, long arm reach, you know, which is huge for defensive linemen to keep those linemen's hands off of him, all those kind of things that he want. And, yeah, he's getting more and more comfortable as you see him go throughout the summer. And, you know, I think he's going to be able to step up and help us out a lot in pass rush.
Head coach Justin Breeze of the Aberdeen Central Golden Eagles here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Do you like the 10 days to kind of get prepped for the season with full padded practice? Is that long enough or is that too short? Is that just right?
I think, you know, the 10 days we get throughout the summer is probably just about right. You know, you don't want to put pads on every single day and bang and beat on each other. Like I said, it's more of a time for us to grow and develop and not just beat on each other. You know, and as we get into fall camp here in August, even the state has set rules where, hey, I think the first 4 days, you know, the first 2 days we can only wear helmets. Okay, then you can put on shoulder pads and helmets, and then you do that for 2 days. And you can finally, after 4 days, you can put on full pads. And I think that just helps our kids, again, making sure that coaches, and some do a better job than others, I don't know, but, you know, slow things down early in fall camp. That way, we know that kids are doing things properly technique-wise, you know, reducing risk of injury, those kind of things. So I think it's about right over the summertime. We don't need to, you know, put on full pads every single day. Although if you ask our O-line, D-line coaches, you know, they're going to say, you know, we want pads on because, let's be honest, you know, O-line and D-line just hanging out in helmets, they're not getting a whole lot of work. But then again, wearing full pads and banging on each other every day and beating each other up, you know, doesn't always help out. You know, there's some times where you need that, but you don't need that every day.
Well, we heard from John Henderson. He's a different breed. I mean, he's a defensive lineman.
Yeah,
you know, those guys
are
different.
They're grown a little bit different. I don't want to say their screws are a little loose or wires are crossed up top, but some of those guys are a little bit nuts.
Do you get two practices a day in those 10 days? I remember when I was playing, like, we had these things called two-a-days in those 10 days. Like, you'd practice in the morning and once in the afternoon. Is that something that you do, or how does that work?
The way things are set up now with high school, we can have one practice a day, practice, and then we can have, you know, that can be 2-3-hour practice, and then you can have a second practice where it's a walkthrough, where you can wear a helmet, you can have a ball, but you can't, you know, you can't have any contact, you can't use pads, you can't use all the other stuff that come with those practices. So you can do that up until day five. Then you can actually start doing what we would call a two-a-day practice, where it'd be, you know, you could wear pads in the morning and come back in the afternoon or the early evening and have another full padded practice. So it's their ideas behind, you know, acclimating our athletes to the heat, to the conditions, those kind of things. And, you know, I know we get into the fall camp, we just kind of want to get going and going, but, you know, the rules are in place to try and keep kids safe and those kind of things. And, yeah, I remember all our fun two-a-day practices. And then I think even when I was at Northern 1 year, NCAA said, oh, yeah, you guys can have a three-a-days if you want. And it was wow. They only did that for 1 year, and that they decided that was probably a bad idea.
Yeah, but they did that and remember the Titans, remember? We're moving from two-a-days to three-a-days until you guys can get it all figured out. So, it did happen, I guess, back in the day. Maybe one or two more before we get you out of here. How excited are you just in general for football season? I mean, you're talking to a couple of football geeks over here. We love the game. We're really excited for the season, and I bet you are as well.
Yeah, you know, and I know our guys get excited for the games, and I'm a big practice guy, and you want to get, you know, get in and get work and what you need to do and rep those things you want to do. But it's usually a slow build for me, you know, kind of things in the summertime. I'm working on getting things ready for the summer or throughout the summer for the season, you know, travel, all those kind of things. And it just a slow build of like, hey, okay, it's getting closer. And then it hits. And I still, you think about the night before fall camp starts, and you know, that Sunday night, I probably get about an hour of sleep because I'm up thinking about, okay, we got this to do and we got to do this. And we're just that excitement, it's fun. You know, even now after coaching for 20-some years, it's still exciting, it's still fun. It's like the anticipation of, okay, how are we going to do this year? You know, getting ready for it. And then building into game week, that gets more exciting because, okay, you get actually, you know, prep for the team we're going to play, and it's really exciting. I don't know if I haven't been involved in a sport like that, you know, wrestling, track, baseball, those kind of things aren't quite the same feel that you get when you're getting ready for a football game. And maybe it's just the number of games that you get a year because it's limited. It's not like you're playing 100 and some games like baseball does. You know, you just a limited number of times that you get to play and go out there and compete. And, yeah, it's a slow build. But once that, you know, once 4th of July hits, yeah. Summer for me is pretty much over. And it's just, okay, let's get going. It's time to get going for fall camp.
I'll tell you what, that pumped me up right there.
Yeah.
I got to say.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good stuff.
I'm working on my northern stuff this week, and I'm thinking to myself, are we going to get this thing going or what? Like, yeah. What's the deal?
You're impatiently waiting.
Yeah. Well, looking forward to the season. You got anything else, Cobra?
No, looking forward to the week one game versus Pierre. You know, we'll have all the games on Sunny. Looking forward to year two. I had a lot of fun covering you guys last year, and looking forward to this new squad here. A lot of new faces, it sounds like, and let's get to work, right?
Yeah, that's always it. And every year is new, and every year is different, and getting new kids coming in, and how can we use the talents our kids have to make us a better team is always fun and exciting to see. And like I said before, how things evolve, and you know, just the evolution of the season and how it goes is great.
Well, good to have you in the studio. Congratulations on getting through the summer almost. And officially the season begins, I think, on the 31st, which is really quick. Why are you guys starting up on a Saturday this year? That's kind of unique.
That's our booster club has you know, like a fundraiser that first or one of the first week, and we do our Eagle Fest that week, and you know, it's a Saturday game. We've got cheer and dance in the morning. There's volleyball the night before. It's kind of a culmination of the week of like, hey, here's our Aberdeen Central Athletics, and here's what we've got. And we've got soccer games, we've got volleyball games, we got all the things going on, and build up into that day. And yeah, no, we're not totally excited about a Saturday game, but that's just the way it works in the schedule, which is fine. You know, and then we move on and we get the rest of the year is all Friday night lights. So
it's like an unofficial homecoming to kind of
like
the season,
yeah, kind of kick the season off, and yeah, it's good. It gets excitement going, gets some parents and people involved in the booster club that we use. So
good to have you here in studio. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure, for sure. Head coach Justin Breeze here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We will wrap up this Friday installment of The Hub after this. Back on the Sports Hub here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to head coach Justin Breeze here for joining us in studio and just talking off the air. I'm telling you, man, our juices are flowing. We're percolating here in studio.
I'd say so. This is going to be a fun football season. Coach Breeze there, great interview. Just talking about the summer, and like you said and like what he said, you know, you build a lot of the team bonding type things now, right, in the weight room during those, you know, long summer days at practice. You know, you're just waiting to get out on the field. This is where teams are made, and looking forward to the challenges up ahead for Aberdeen Central. And August 31st, I was about to say April. August 31st can't come soon enough, right?
Yeah, the other A month for sure. Yeah, because it's kind of interesting the way it all shapes out this year. Northern is starting up on a Thursday. Then you've got, I think Ron Colley's off that week, if memory serves. Or maybe they've got Clark Willow Lake.
They play the
23rd.
Yeah, they play the week before.
So they're off on that kind of that week two, if you will. Then you've got the Central deal on Saturday, which is kind of unique. Starting college on a Thursday, and then high school typically, who plays on Friday, they're playing on Saturday. College is usually on a Saturday. It's just kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I feel like week zero
in
college football, like they play games Wednesday night,
yeah,
Thursday
night.
Yeah,
stuff.
They don't play on – you got a handful of games on – you see more games on Thursday night than you do Saturday in college in week zero.
Yeah, I saw a really funny meme on social media. It was basically a boyfriend talking to his girlfriend like, you know what, honey, I'm giving up Tuesday night football, so let's just have a date night or something like that. Ha, ha, ha. But you know what? Before – you know what? Tuesday night football is going to be a thing. Yeah, right.
Action. I usually see a tweet on my timeline every once in a while during the fall. We have, like, football every single day.
Yeah.
Till this day.
Right.
And I'm waiting for that tweet coming up here at some point this fall.
Well, it's what? August 1st is the Hall of Fame game?
Yeah, that's
Bears
coming
and
up.
Texans. Yeah, that's in a couple weeks.
2 weeks. NFL training camp starting. I think we talked about that yesterday off the air. Like, rookies and quarterbacks are there.
Just don't use those two words, pitchers and catchers. That's a whole other story. I told you about that yesterday. I got a buddy of mine. World Series ends 3 days later. Pitchers and catchers reporting in 96 days. Okay, all right, fine. Smitty's are back in action here today. They'll be taking on the likes of Spearfish for that twin bill. Brown County Speedway tonight, night one of two. It's also tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. He's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. We're back at it on Monday on FSA.